it's spring and it's giving beginning of fall. And for me, I'm not really with that shit because I love spring. I am not a winter fan. I'm not a fan of fall heavily. Maybe the beginning when it's still not that cold. Even though you can still work with some layers. But spring is one of the most sunniest times of the year for me. And some of you may be like, well, spring is always sunny. And I'm going to tell you, being from upstate New York, Rochester, New York, to be exact, we have very long and dark winters and harsh winters because we deal with lake effect snow. And so for most of the year, the most of the year is winter. Even April could get it too. April could be winter. And so when that spring first comes and it breaks, it's such a release. It gives people, you know, an uplift in their spirit. There are different things people look forward to. I know for me, spring has always represented nice long walks and being at parks and, you know, just seeing what's happening out on the scene in the community. You know, it gives an uplift to my spirit. And so me moving to a climate that is more tolerable, or a city that has a climate that is more tolerable, but still not getting spring when spring is required to show up, I'm gonna need her to get a little bit more energy and aggression and kick winter's ass out the way. Because this 51, this 62 with rain, this 45 degrees with rain and a breeze and winds going at 20 miles per hour. What is this? I know it's global warming, okay? I know it's climate change. I know there's a lot of different things that's going on. That's what I'm really meant to say. I know it's climate change. But I need spring to give what it needs to give because my spirit is in a very different place. And so I say this all to say that as I think about what's been happening these past couple months, all I want to know is where is spring? Where is spring? And can you please come back to me because I miss you. You're my favorite season. You give me joy. You bring me joy in ways that I've never experienced joy before. I just need time and energy to center myself and you know, just get that energy going on. Everybody get your motherfucking roll on. That's the type of time I'm on. Get your roll on. I know Shorty and she doesn't want no slow song. Okay? That's the type of vibe that I am. And now, if you are new here or if you are a returning listener, I want to welcome you all to the Broke Black Bougie podcast, where we create candid conversation for young black women. And it's relatable, okay? Because we've all been there. Women making it on less than our worth. We do so while setting trends, spreading black assness, and ultimately busting our tails to live our best life. I am your host, Charlie. Toya is not present this week. She will return the next following week. She got some things, you know, some resting that she needs. When you're at capacity and you know you need rest, you need rest. And that's when little sister step in and make it do what it do. And so this week I want to have a real ass conversation about something that I felt was so heavy on my heart. Heavy on my heart at the beginning of the year, because I committed at the beginning of this year to have what I like to call fluidity. I said I want to be able to flow with ease this year, to do all of the things that I couldn't do, to live again, and to center myself in a way that I've never centered myself before. That's what I committed to myself this year. And while I've been flowing with ease and while the universe is saying you're headed in the right direction and all of these blessings on blessings on blessings have come my way, I've also been dealing with a very real thing about how I view myself, how I view my security, my confidence, all of the things I've been struggling with. And they officially came to light about a week and a half ago when I was sitting in a hotel room, taking an extra day for myself in New York City and just zoning out and trying to figure out next steps and next things that I wanted. And I was like, yo, I got to deal with a thing called shrinking. For those of you that don't know what shrinking is, it is defined as becoming smaller in size or essentially shrinking, right? Just very simple. You go from large to small, you shrink. You may shut yourself out in a way, right? You may deal with some type of fear or disgust surrounding something, so you shrink, right? And when I think about my first experience with shrinking, which I am going to share in our politicking segment, It's very comical, right? It's associated with feeling less said. And I know being a Black woman, you know, and operating in this world as a Black body, there are so many instances where we shrink. We're dealing with jobs where we shrink, where we go into spaces where in order to survive, we become smaller than we are just to navigate workspaces that are not for us. We experience being in unfamiliar roles, around unfamiliar vibes, around unfamiliar people, and sometimes we shrink. Instead of growing and being as vibrant as we are, sometimes we become a smaller version of ourselves. And for me, it's something that I'm tired of. I'm tired of, and I'm ready to work through. And so today, I want to have a very candid and real conversation about dealing with shrinking, what it means to deal with shrinking, and what it means to break free from that and let go, and where that leads us, right, within our own individual journey. So we're going to have a real-ass conversation today. It's going to be one filled with vulnerability. I may even share a tear or two, but I know that this conversation that I'm having is so important because other young women like myself have either gone through the journey, are going through the journey, or may go through this experience. And I want to talk a little bit about how we have the power to overcome shrinking. So without further ado, we're about to get into the politicking segment on another episode of the Broke Black Bougie, Broke Black Bougie podcast. And we titling this Fuck Shrinking. So in starting this conversation, I want to talk a little bit about what shrinking is. And I know I defined it earlier, right? Shrink, the verb of shrinking, right? But I want to unpack it a little bit more because some of us may see, have heard or known others or ourselves to do these things and might not even refer to it as shrinking, but it's exactly what it is, right? So another definition of shrinking is to contract or curl up the body or part of it, to huddle, right? To become smaller or more compacted, to lose substance or weight, to lessen in value, to dwindle, right? To recoil instinctively as from something painful or horrible, to hold oneself back, to refrain. Shrinking. And when I honestly think about these definitions, I think about in the ways in which it happens in our lives, right? We may enter into a space we're unfamiliar with and not know how to show up. And so we don't come as our fullest self. We don't shine bright. We dwindle our light, right? So we shrink. We may have to deal with maneuvering workspaces that are unsafe for us. And so instead of showing up as the full, bright, beautiful Black ass selves that we are, we come in another form. We shrink ourselves out of a means of survival. And then when we make it through the workday, boom, we right back to normal. In the back of my head, I often think of this GIF. And if y'all got group chats, y'all know this GIF that I'm talking about because it's normally used as a sexual joke. Normally used as a sexual joke. Ladies, let's tap in. So there's this GIF with a train that is going through a tunnel. A train that is going through the tunnel. And what is happening is, as I have my hand, you know, I'm doing the high five signal and I got my fist ready. All you see is the train like breaking through the tunnel, and it breaks through and it should start crumbling, and then it goes all the way in. It just keeps going and it passes. You know, it's a little funny, perverted joke, but you know, I'm thinking of it as shrinking in many ways, because I think about what that GIF would be like if instead of having this rough ass experience of the train having to break down a fucking top of the tunnel to just go through, I think about what it would be like if that damn train just shrunk, went through the tunnel, made it out, and became its full form. Right, what that would look like in terms of the cartoon, in terms of the GIF, what message would it give us? And oftentimes we pass through tunnels, we pass through experiences, we pass through spaces having to shrink ourselves. And it may work temporarily for a moment in time to get us to the next chapter, you know, that next path in our journey. But sometimes shrinking could just do so much to deplete your soul. And I want to tap into why that is a reality that I've been through. About a week and a half ago, I took a trip to the city. I've been going back and forth to New York City. I've been getting my life in order because I'm trying to figure out, you know, next places for myself after Albany and thinking really critical about what I want and what I see for myself. And interestingly enough, right, I ended up having an Airbnb. Love Airbnbs. I love looking at different Airbnbs in the city because the people who know how to do an Airbnb and do it right, oh my God, you see how the different real estate is set up. You get all of these different images in your head about how your future property look like. It's a very inspirational thing. And so I spent some time in Brooklyn, and I spent about 3 days at that Airbnb, and on the third day, I told myself I need to extend this another day. But you know how nice Airbnbs are, though. Like, you get an Airbnb in a big-ass city like New York, you might not be able to extend it another day because it's going to be booked. And it was. And so I had to think quick on my feet and ended up booking a night at a hotel at the Hilton in Brooklyn, in downtown Brooklyn, to extend my stay and to just clear my thoughts. And when I arrived, baby, I spent all day writing until it was time for me to check in. I wrote a lot, wrote some new articles for Broke Black Bougie, was just thinking about, you know, my perspective and things that I wanted to think about. I was really tapped in. And then that following evening when I got into the hotel room, I spent a lot of time unpacking. You know, because I like to talk to myself. I like to talk to God. I like to talk to my ancestors. I like to put energy out there where I'm being very intentional about what it is that I want. I want to talk about and speak into the universe what it is that I want, what it is that I know that I need to do, and the things that I need to work on myself. And I knew that in order for me to get into another chapter of my life, when I am moving, where I am glowing, where I am experiencing new heights and doing new things for myself, that there's this one thing that I need to work with: shrinking. Because I've either had to deal with people shrinking me and making me feel less than and having to maneuver what that feels like and how to bloom again, or I've internalized some of the things that people have said and I've challenged how I felt about myself in spaces. And so when I'm in spaces that I'm unfamiliar with, I don't know how to act. Not like, oh, you showing your ass or you showing out. It's like, oh, who is this version of me that is shrinking so much, that is not shining bright, that is not being her fullest self, that don't want to take up space? Like, who is this person? And as somebody as confident and as front-facing and as secure at times within herself, why is it that when you get into certain experiences or having to deal with certain moods or having to deal with places that you are unfamiliar with, you shrink? What the fuck is that? Like, I had to check myself and say, girl, what the hell is going on? And so in recognizing that to be something that triggered me immediately, right, in you know, one of my past visits, I spent a lot of time with myself talking through what that is and why that happens. And then it led me down a long rabbit hole. It led me to a phone call with my best friend where we were chopping it up and having a conversation, and then me having to hang up early because I was like, you know, I got some things I want to navigate and I want to spend some time alone and in silence and working through my emotions. And then that led me to really talk with myself and be real about some of the things that I'm going through and I want to let go of as I enter into a new journey. And I spent about an hour and a half just crying. Talking to myself, being at one, putting things out into the universe, being real about some of the shit that I've had to experience, what the past 2 years have looked like for me, where I'm going now, and how I no longer want to be in spaces where I am shrinking, where I don't feel beautiful, where I don't feel good about myself, where I don't know how to enter into a space where I cannot shine bright. You know, I don't want to have to feel with, oh, I can't shine here, because that ain't healthy for me. You know, I don't want to feel like I can't navigate the world on my terms because of the terms and conditions that are already set for me. You understand what I'm saying? And so after going through that experience and crying, I felt like I was going to a funeral. That I was literally leaving a part of myself in that hotel room that I was like, I can't deal with this shit anymore. I can't deal with me feeling inadequate. I can't deal with me second guessing and doubting myself when I show up the most for other people. I can do the same shit with myself and be so much greater. I can't deal with saying that I'm showing up for self-love, but when it's time for me to love on myself, somehow, some way, I'm harming the girl who deserves to be free. That's not true to my liberation. That's not true to what it is that I desire for myself. And as a 26-year-old, I know that I deserve so much more than placing myself in a box and shrinking because I am in places that make me feel uncomfortable, or I'm not knowing how to navigate everything, or I may not have the answers to everything. That's okay. I'm not going to have the answers to everything. I'm not going to have the answers to everything. I'm not going to know how to always show up. But the best thing that I can do for myself is be present. And so I want to talk about one of the first times I encountered shrinking and what shrinking has looked like for me throughout the years, and how as an adult, I somehow, some way, still have to navigate, right, working through that and being more confident and centering. Instead of shrinking, how am I choosing to expand and what that expansion looks like for me? As I say, fuck shrinking. And I'm attempting to work through centering myself in what it is that and what it is that I want and how I see myself moving forward in the later years of my 20s and entering into my 30s, because 3-0 will be here in about 3 years. So let's tap in. The first time I ever felt like I was shrinking was in grade school. And grade school was very challenging for me because it was my first reality into colorism and to me having conversations about my black ass identity and me recognizing, I'm like, oh, some shit not right. Something just ain't right. We need to talk about, this uncomfortable reality that I'm experiencing as a young dark skinned woman, where I'm always going into school and having to defend myself or check somebody on a whack ass politics about being black. The young boy that I went to school with named Lamont, he was just about as chocolate as me, but he would always say things and nitpick about my skin complexion. And I remember we was getting in line one time, I believe, to go down to lunch. This is third grade. And he was making comments about me being black. Yo, what's your old dark black ass? Like, da-da-da-da. Like, he always heavy emphasized my skin complexion being a problem. And I used to always have to cut his ass and tell him, nigga, you black too. So what's the difference? Can you imagine third grade Charlie really clapping back like this? But that's literally how I had to be. I was like, you black too, so what's the difference? And people used to just be like, right, like, ooh. And he could never come back from that, because the truth was, he was a dark-skinned black man being anti-black as fuck to a dark-skinned black woman, and not recognizing that we have many parallels in our lives, baby boy. And you may not see that shit right now. You may not see that shit right now, but you will later on in life. It was just like, come on. But when I always had to defend myself and show up in that way, it would cause me to shrink, because I'm like, now the light is on me being dark skinned, being a dark skinned black young woman, and not feeling good enough because I feel like something is wrong with the way that I look, with my appearance. Right? That's something I had to heavily navigate in terms of shrinking. It was one of my first encounters with shrinking. One of my second encounters also happened in grade school, where I had an assignment, right? We all had an assignment doing Black History. Yeah. Black History. Yeah. Shout out to Whitney Houston. And it was to write about Black leaders and the great things that they've done and what we feel inspired by from hearing about their legacy. And I chose Malcolm X as a young motherfucking Black Panther I was during that time. I chose Malcolm X. I wanted to write about Malcolm X. And my frenemy really wasn't no goddamn friend, so enemy. in class, decided to write about Wilma Rudolph. And if you know who Wilma Rudolph is, okay, she is an American track and field athlete, highly decorated. At her time, was known as the fastest woman in the world. Okay. And there was a book in our classroom that I read prior to this assignment about her, because we had it in the classroom. We would have like book and reading time. And that was titled Wilma Unlimited by Kathleen Kruel, How Wilma Rudolph Became the Fastest Woman in the World. And it was a very quick read. It was a very quick read. Didn't have a lot of jargon in it. We were easily able to relate to it. But the significance of the assignments that we were working on during that time was whoever wrote the best essay was going to get called down to the principal's office to read it and, you know, have a discussion about it for Black History Month. And we loved getting called down to the office and being on the intercom. I was a part of a little group during the time, and this is how she really became my friend of me. But anywho, I was a part of a little group at the time. We used to write songs or whatever and, you know, sing and get called to the intercom to, you know, sing the songs that we were writing because we were creatives. And we also used to perform in the cafeteria, and then our group broke up and it became two of us, three of them performing and having different experiences and all of the different, I remember all of the little weird catty shit that would go down when we was in grade school. But nevertheless, that's normal shit, right? When you're in grade school, you have those experiences. You come into who you are, and either you grow from who you were during that time or you become more of that person, right? Because some of us already have our personality set in stone. And I know for me, I became a funnier version of myself, a much more filtered version of myself, and not saying everything that I felt, because at that time during grade school, I would say everything that I felt. But nevertheless, that was the reality. And back to, you know, the competition. So when it came down to it, me and the young woman, who I titled my frenemy, had the best essays in the classroom. But her essay got chosen to be read in the principal's office because, as the teacher stated, there was no grammar mistakes. It was absolutely perfect. And they couldn't believe that at that age, she was writing at that level. So when she went down and the day came for her to read about the assignment and, you know, her inspiration behind it and, you know, how she worked really hard on it, when she read it back on the intercom, it sounded very familiar, right? In fact, it sounded like the book, word for word, that I read by Kathleen Kruel on Wilma Unlimited. And that's exactly what it was. And in that moment, you know, we were taught so often not to, even though they didn't really call it plagiarism, even though plagiarism is what it is, right? At that time in grade school, they always emphasized, make sure you do your own work, use your own words, this, that, and third. Plagiarism really wasn't as heavily scrutinized as it was later on. But it just didn't feel right to me because in that moment, I knew she lost. I knew she lost. It was always in competition with each other, right? But I knew she lost because I said to myself, I was like, yo, my shit was really written from scrap. You know, I really put time in this to talk about Malcolm and how sometimes I feel like his work is overshadowed because of his Black ass politics. Like, I didn't take words from Kathleen Kruel. Like, these are my words. And yeah, they may have grammar mistakes, but I should be the person down there really reading my shit. Was annoyed because you know how frenemies are. You never hear the end of the shit that they've accomplished. And I would never hear the end of it. But I also knew that I was like, that's not your work. I mean, anybody could go down and get celebrated and told that they were writing at this standard if you copy word for word type shit. You know, that's the type of energy that I was on. But that moment didn't leave me, because I started to think about how sometimes even when you do the best work, because of politics, because of bullshit that exists, right? You may not always be centered. And that's okay, because you still got to be able to celebrate yourself and pat yourself on the back. Period. So in a moment, I didn't feel as good enough. Especially to somebody else's work that wasn't their work. And the truth did eventually come out. But the glitz and glamour was already done. You know? So it was like, it was kind of just, it is what it was. But that was another example of me learning like real adult world lessons in grade school. Entering into my adolescence and like in adulthood years, I would say like maybe from like middle school onward to high school, I felt really challenged by shrinking in many ways, because it wasn't just the shrinking that existed with myself and me being hard on myself and me dealing with imposter syndrome at a young age then. It was also how my loved ones, how I felt around my loved ones and how I would often shrink. Because growing up in a household, it was no surprise that in my immediate family, my father ruled with an iron fucking fist. His words were often Bible. It was very hard as a woman to have a different opinion than him and still be listened to. And so shrinking for me in that household looked like, right, being talked down on, not being heard, not being listened to, having it be his way or the highway. It also looked like instances where I physically felt shrinking, felt less than, because of his discipline practices that were rooted in really deep anger. And having to deal with that, right, and be like, this is a person who was supposed to love me and not harm me, but is being very harmful. How do you navigate that when there is nowhere else for you to go and you can't afford to be anywhere else and you have to navigate surviving this space? It can cause you to shrink. And so when I look at all of the different instances where I've experienced shrinking as an adult, it's a no-brainer that somehow, some way, sometimes there are different triggers that occur in my life where I feel like, oh, this is that shrinking shit that's happening again. But I have to figure out a way to navigate it. And I think, and what I've been calling to myself this year and what I've said that I've wanted to do for myself at the beginning of this year, all the way out to the end of 2022, because this is really a year of change for me and a real shift that's happening in my life. I said I wanted to part ways. I talked about that heavily even before I got to, you know, my last trip in the city and then got there. And then on my way out of the city, having a moment where it really felt like I was having a funeral. Like, I'm talking about bawling, eyes crying, feeling like I was losing something, like just letting go. It was a release. It was a healthy release. And a few days later, I came across a post by Mitchell C. Clark, who does amazing work helping people navigate some shit that we deserve to unpack. And it was about shrinking. And I said, oh my God, what a full circle moment. And so I want to talk a little bit about that post and how that post motivated me to shift my mindset and think differently about the way I show up for myself, how I identify what shrinking is, and how I really understand what self-love is for me. Because so often we talk about self-love on this podcast. We've talked about self-love on, you know, our online events and the things that we've had to navigate. But the truth is, you know, we could preach that self-love shit so much, but if you are not putting it into practice, if you are not being honest with the way you need to love yourself, it is very hard for you to give somebody else a word on about how to love them. Have you loved you today? Have you been gentle with yourself today? It's easy for us to pinpoint and call out shit that other people need to navigate, but what have you done for you? So I say this all to say, we're going to tap into this post really quick and circle back around to some words of wisdom. Mitchell C. Clark, and for those of you who want to tap into his amazing post, you can go to Instagram, and it's literally at MICHELLC Clark, which is C-L-A-R-K. Self-love isn't always this fluffy, soft-flowing way of living. Sometimes self-love shows up as the voice in your head that says, now you know goddamn well. It's ironic when people say that self-love is a selfish endeavor, because when you work to become a better version of yourself, you position yourself to be a blessing to everybody you come into contact with. Self-love shows up as a willingness to distance yourself from anyone who repeatedly violates your boundaries, diminishes your worth, or disrespects your passions. Self-love shows up as a refusal to shrink yourself. Self-love shows up as a willingness to be selective with the way that you spend your time, attention, and energy. Sometimes self-love shows up as a willingness to set higher standards for yourself, even when everyone else is satisfied with good enough. Self-love shows up as a willingness to have hard conversations that will sustain the relationships you care about. Self-love shows up as self-accountability. When you love yourself, you listen to yourself, you trust your intuition, you honor your desires, you remind yourself that your feelings are valid, you acknowledge every emotion that passes through your body. Sometimes self-love shows up as the willingness to release people who have no interest in learning how to love you. The caption then read, "This world can be exhausting and traumatizing, but you deserve better. You deserve to be loved in the languages that resonate with your heart, and that starts with the way that you love yourself. You are your own first line of defense. If your life is a movie, you are the director. You will never hear another person's voice more than you hear your own. When you commit to accepting every part of yourself, decide that you are worthy of being loved, and choose to nurture your well-being, you create the foundation for a healthy and happy life. The way that you love yourself doesn't have to look like the virtual self-care TikToks on your feed. The way that you pour into yourself doesn't have to impress other people. The way that you show up for yourself doesn't have to look like all of the slides on this post. We can all love ourselves differently based on who we are as individual people. And to be clear, I'm not talking about the easily digestible, aesthetically pleasing versions of self-love. I'm not talking about unconditional selflessness. I'm not talking about running away from all your problems. I'm talking about the type of love that pushes you outside of your comfort zone and towards your purpose. I'm talking about the type of self-love that pulls you towards your self-actualization and deep-rooted joy. I'm talking about the type of self-love that fills you up and allows you to pour into the people around you without living in a long-term, never-ending relationship with exhaustion. I want this for all of us." Oh, God. Every time I read it, I break into tears, because this post came at a time where I was dealing with emotions and figuring out things about what fluidity means for myself, what self-love means for myself, and letting go of shrinking, and how do I identify that. And when I came to the post that says self-love shows up as a refusal to shrink yourself, I said, yo, that's the shit that I'm experiencing and that I've gone through and that I'm willing to walk away from. I'm literally refusing that and entering into a space of expanding, of growing, of shining, of blossoming, of letting go of the shrinking shit, because it's not going to help me in my next stage. And see, the thing about shrinking is that it's not always our fault the way we shrink. Sometimes it's affected by the people, places, and things around us that made us feel less than, that force us to shrink. Systemic issues that make us feel like we're not good enough. The way in which we've been received, or how people have received us based on the spaces that we've walked into. And if you done dealt with that shit for so long, it's a no-brainer that when you spend time alone, when you're preparing for certain things, that there's a voice in the back of your mind that tries to say, hey, you don't deserve to be here. Hey, are you good enough? Hey, are you replicating X, Y, and Z? Sometimes we hear that shit and we do shrink ourselves, but that's not because we really want to. So, in moving forward, I'm holding myself accountable to be more gentle with myself when I am in places where I'm out of my comfort zone, where I'm in places that I'm in my comfort zone. I'm holding myself accountable to show up and be all that I am. And also walking away from things that do make me feel uncomfortable without having to feel like I need to give certain things, people, spaces, a second chance. If it makes me feel uncomfortable, I don't have to be here. If it don't feel right, I don't have to be here. I don't have to give this a take two. Okay, this is not like Mike. I don't have to give this another shot to make it feel like I need to be here. If I know that, you know, this doesn't feel right. But another thing that Mitchell said that made me feel like, like this is it, is the slide that said, when you love yourself, you listen to yourself, you trust your intuition, you honor your heart's desires, you remind yourself that your feelings are valid, you acknowledge every emotion that passes through your body. In that moment in the Hilton, when I was spending time with myself, when I felt like it was a funeral, I was literally acknowledging every emotion that was passing through my body. I was releasing that shit. And I didn't understand it in the moment. It just felt good to release. I got back on the train. I was relaxing. I was like, yeah, damn, I needed that. Don't really know what that was. It was a moment. But it was a moment. But I'm releasing it. And I'm allowing myself to let that emotion pass through my body. All of the things I was feeling, I just let it go. And so I don't know what the universe told Mitchell to do, but he did it. And I'm so grateful, because it was a full circle moment for me to know that the direction that I'm going in, unpacking my shrinking and why I've shrunken, and the first moments that I felt myself shrinking, and how I'm navigating breaking out of feeling small, of people shrinking me, of me being harmful to myself, it is a very beautiful thing. It let me know that I was going in the right direction. And I know that other people who also read this, because it went viral, have received it too. And that's a beautiful way to not only reflect on what self-love truly is, but self-love is not this linear thing. Self-love is not something that is always about, ooh, spending money, ooh, doing things for free, ooh, pampering yourself. Sometimes it's about unpacking the things that is very uncomfortable about your reality, about who you are, and figuring out how to do better. And so the way I'm choosing to do better in this sense is writing more affirmations for myself. Continuing therapy. Being more intentional about the way I talk about myself. Right? Validating me. Even when it may feel uncomfortable, even if I feel drained, validating me. Now allowing myself to stay in a funk. Sometimes I might need to just lay down and release and not do anything. Other days I may need to get up and get active and figure out how to be more gentle with myself again. Not every day is going to be perfect, but I can do that. Talking more self-love over myself. Being very intentional about the people that I am self-loving with. Like, my best friends, that's a very important relationship for me. The type of relationship that I have with them, to be honest with them, to talk about my growth, talk about my failure, to talk about where I am at in my journey. Oh, it's so important for me, because I'm like, yes, sis, let's talk about this. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm experiencing. This is what I'm trying to overcome. Those type of relationships matter to me. So much so that I don't feel the need to be in spaces where I don't receive the same comfort and the same love. And there are relationships that have to be worked on. But there are also relationships that I've recognized that I'm okay to let go or let them be where they're at. I don't have to further unpack because I feel like I need to force something. It just doesn't need to be forced. And I love things that don't need to be forced. It makes me feel very content with my love language, how I decide to love, how I decide to show up for myself and me identifying what self-love is. But I just wanted to really talk about this today because I know that I am not the only 20-something-year-old who is going through this. And you don't have to be a 20-something to identify what shrinking is and how to say fuck it. Because there are some 30-year-olds going through this. There are some 40-year-olds going through this. There are some 50-year-olds going through this, right? There are people at every different stage of their life who may encounter, you know, experiences that have made them shrink, things that have made them shrink, people who have made them shrink, you know, thoughts that have made them shrink. And they're unpacking and doing the work and saying, yo, this doesn't feel right. I recognize what this is and I want to let go of it. And sometimes it's about let going experiences that don't feel right for you. I let go 2 jobs like it was nothing because it didn't feel right for me. And when I let that shit go, a world of fucking flowers opened up for me. I let go of people that didn't make me feel good. And you know what? It may have been lonely. It may have been frustrating. It may have been annoying, but I got my peace. I learned how to tighten up my boundaries. I learned how to be real with myself, real with my isolation, real with the way I was showing up, real with recognizing the patterns that I had that was similar to my parents' patterns. I realized I was being hard as fuck on myself, feeling terrible, not wanting to look at myself, not wanting to take a picture, not wanting to do anything because I've been going through X, Y, and Z. I recognize that. I feel that. It's a real reality of what I've had to go through. But I'm at a point now where shrinking comes and goes. But I'm on a path where I really want it not to determine how I bloom. And so with that being said, I want to thank you all for tapping into another episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast. And I hope this is something that, you know, we are able to talk more about, be able to tap into our friendship circles and talk about, like, yo, have you ever dealt with shrinking and how have you navigated it? You know, and how do you give yourself courage to navigate things when you feel small? And how we can constantly remind ourselves of the greatness that we are, because being Black is motherfucking amazing. I look forward to chopping it up with y'all all soon. And more importantly, I want to thank you all for being in community with Broke Black Bougie. Till next time. Getting disconnected on social media can be hard, but the best way to stay in touch with the Broke Black Bougie community is to visit www.brokeblackbougie.com and be sure to sign up for the Broke Black Bougie newsletter to stay in touch with all things BBB, from our newsletter to our events, to upcoming podcast episodes, to anything that's happening within the Broke Black Bougie community. All you have to do is visit www.brokeblackbougie.com and subscribe to our newsletter by submitting your email. Promise, we don't spam, but you're going to be in the know and updated in all the shows that you didn't know. Keep in touch with the community. Oh, wow. I kind of play too much.